so hard to please. But look around, these are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Feel the Salvation Army bound. Down by the riverside, it's bound to be a better ride than what you got planned. Carry your cup in your hand and look around you. He's a brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around, the grass is high, the fields are ripe. It's the springtime of my life.
Welcome back to the flip side, hour number two on this Friday, July the 22nd. We're speaking with Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. If you'd like to read Charles's article on corn to ethanol, just click on the link to Charles's name right there, and just go to the search engine, top left-hand side, and just punch in corn to ethanol, and it'll take you to the article Charles wrote on September the 27th, 2007.
And we wrote several since then, but that was the basic one that was, I think, the most thorough. And it's been published a lot of places, and actually, if you search for it, you'll find that article posted really all over the Internet, all over the world.
Oh, I did. There is, as you know, Charles, there's a lot of people that say that the use of corn for use in ethanol is not as bad as you make it out to be, and it's you know that other side of the argument.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very big issue.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
The reason we've concentrated on this, Robbie, is that there are two things about it. First of all, this is one small problem that is a big part of the food problem that can be fixed very easily. The United States Congress has been under a good bit of pressure since they have been passing these subsidies that make ethanol possible. In other words, we would not have to buy any ethanol at all, or we would not, nobody would even use it if it was not subsidized in the production. So what happens is, the Federal Reserve provides the money to the United States government to pay the producers of ethanol 45 cents for every gallon of the stuff they produce, and then they passed a law that said we have to burn it, whether we want it or not. The way they accomplish that is they force the blenders who blend gasoline and sell it to the service stations where you and I buy our fuel to basically put in 10% ethanol. Now, they want to increase it to 15%. So it becomes a purchase that we have no choice over. It's not optional to us. And then they subsidize the makers with 45 cents a gallon subsidy, and this has built the entire ethanol industry and has driven the price of corn from $2 a bushel to $8 a bushel.
Hold that thought, Charles. We've got another short break, and we'll be back.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back to the flip side on this Friday. Speaking with Charles Carlson. Charles, continue.
Okay. The point I was making, Robbie, is that since the ethanol scam has been initiated, forcing people to use fuel in their car, the price of the basic product that is used to make the ethanol has gone up from 400%, which is corn. This, of course, then this means that corn has gone from roughly 4 cents a bushel or 4 cents a pound to 15 cents a pound at the farmer level, and that translates into a lot of higher food costs because, of course, when you create a shortage of one food, it then causes substitution and essentially, farmers quit producing other things, such as cotton and wheat to some degree, and certainly soybeans, and they produce more corn and less of these other products. And these other products are oftentimes direct food products for human consumption, like wheat and rice. So that taking all of this corn off of the market and turning it into a fuel has actually very has a direct impact on the price of eventually of almost every food that is made out of corn. And a lot of foods that are made out of things that corn can be substituted for corn. This includes, of course, hamburger, it includes turkey, it includes chicken, it includes milk, it includes anything that's made out of corn. And the reason that we object to this is not really that the farmer is getting a benefit of a 45-cent a gallon subsidy on ethanol, which he is. It's causing higher corn prices, or that even that the ethanol producers are making the 45 cents on it. The objection that we have is that it inevitably will create this shortage that you've talked about, that you're talking about in the supermarkets, where things just get higher and higher. Now, that might all be justifiable if ethanol had some wonderful, endearing feature for humanity, which we're told it does. We're told it going to prevent global warming. But in fact, the scientists that have studied it have concluded it's just the opposite. Ethyl alcohol is such a poor fuel compared to gasoline that you have to use more fuel to create a gallon of ethanol than you get back in energy from the ethanol you've produced. This takes into account the fertilizer that goes into raising it, the cost of running all the farm implements, and then, of course, once you get the corn, then it actually has to be distilled. And that means you dissolve the corn, or essentially the protein in the corn, or the carbohydrates in the corn, into a liquid, and then you distill that. And if you've ever distilled anything on your stovetop in a pan, if you've ever watched a pan of water boil, you know how long it takes to boil away a pan of water and how incredibly much energy it takes to do that. Simple physical laws say that it takes huge energy to distill something. The ethanol plants that are distilling corn into ethyl alcohol do not run on ethyl alcohol. They run on natural gas or coal, or I haven't heard of any that run on electricity, but they essentially all burn up fossil fuels just to produce the ethyl alcohol. And though a lobby that's promoting this is very, very strong and is able to produce a lot of stories and a lot of yarns that are quite convincing, the truth is that there is no way around the simple fact that you don't get back as much energy as you put into it. So at the end of the day, if you burn 1 gallon less of gasoline and you burn 1 gallon more of ethyl alcohol, the net result is it takes more fossil fuels than if you would have burned the fossil fuel, gallon of fossil fuel in the first place.
Well,
is that clear?
Absolutely.
No,
but as with everything, Charles, you know, that old saying of follow the money. Obviously, there are large multinational corporations that benefit greatly from ethanol. You want to name a few?
Well, Archer Daniel Midland and the big grain companies, most of them have investments in ethanol plants. And Monsanto, of course, is a huge one. Most of the plants are under other names, like Poet. I just visited the Poet plant in the tiny village of Chancellor, South Dakota. The town has only 300 people in it. This plant is an enormous thing. It must have had 40 tank cars sitting on a railroad siding waiting to be filled with ethanol that was being produced from the corn that was produced by the local farmers. It turns out a couple of years ago, the ethanol plants that were built in South Dakota turned out to burn more corn than was produced in the entire state. They had so many concentration of ethanol plants in this little state that they burn all the corn produced by the state and another 5% they had to import. These plants are paid for usually with all kinds of tax grants that have been given to them by the counties and communities. Probably the county at Chancellor, South Dakota, has made some given some break to this poet plant that's steaming away and producing this stuff, and in the process burning food. The food is literally disappearing. The corn is no longer useful for human consumption in any way, or for animal consumption. It really has very little residual value after they're through with it. All you get is tank cars of this stuff that you and I are forced to pay $3.50 a gallon for, and every time we buy a gallon of it, we get about 15%, we get about one-third less mileage in our vehicle on that gallon of ethanol we're burning than if we would burn an equal weight of gasoline. So if you fill your tank up and you have 10% and you hold 40 gallons, you're talking 4 gallons, you've bought 4 gallons of fuel that will take you only two-thirds as far as if you would have put pure gasoline in the first place. And in the process, the price of the food products you buy in your own supermarket are being driven higher and higher, and there is no larger single fault that one can find than ethanol for the rising food prices in the United States. There's no other single one answer that is a bigger contributor to it than that. Roughly one-third of all the corn produced in the country is now going into this fuel. And frankly, we would all be better off if they forced us to drink it than buy it for fuel, because it's we wouldn't be better off, but the ethanol industry produces enough ethyl alcohol to stupefy the entire world perpetually from morning to night. Billions of gallons of this stuff are being produced, converting corn into moonshine, they used to call it in the Great Depression. Same stuff. Corn alcohol is all of it. And denatured, of course, so you can't drink it if you happen to get a hold of a 10-gallon or 100. Say you've got a hold of one of these 5,000 tank car, 5,000-gallon tank cars, you would, or 10,000, it would be denatured so you couldn't drink it or sell it to the local brewery. But it essentially is the same stuff. It's basically the same thing. It is the moonshine of the 1930s. Very purified, of course.
So the money that the government gives Archer Daniels and Monsanto, it comes back to politicians in the form of campaign contributions. And I guess that's why some people have said, well, why do you think the first state to hold elections is Iowa?
Yes. And, of course, the Secretary of Agriculture is the former governor of Iowa. And by the way, you've got a bunch of farmers listening to us as we talk, and some of them raise corn. And I don't want to give anybody the impression that I'm against farmers, because I was one. And some of my best friends to this day are people that make their living that way. And I tell them the same thing that I'm telling you. Taking the subsidy for producing ethyl alcohol is wrong. It is just plain wrong in every way. It cannot be justified. Because if nothing else, because it will produce famine, you cannot drive the price of foods up the way they're going up now without causing people to starve to death somewhere in the world. It just has to happen. And that's exactly what's happening. It's basically destruction. The entire ethanol business is totally destructive. It, as I said before, and at risk of repeating myself, very competent chemists have studied this, and they state very clearly it takes more fuel to produce it than you get back out of it. It's as simple as that. The amount of fertilizer that's all made from petrochemicals that goes into the ethanol industry is staggering. And Congress is on the brink of killing the subsidy, by the way. It actually can happen.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Signals, fearless and vigil was I misled. I remember you said that you don't want to forget me. It doesn't matter which of our fantasies fled.
The flip side on this Friday, speaking with Charles Carlson from Great Gate Ministries, talking about ethanol. And I guess, Charles, just doing a simple Google search, the question that seems to come up a lot is, who's making money from ethanol, farmers or refiners?
Well, actually, a lot of the ethanol plants are caught in their own scheme. Because as they have continued to consume these enormous amount of corn, the price of the corn has gone up to the point where they can't afford to produce the ethanol even with the 45 cent a gallon subsidy. But what these plant managers have done, they've been pretty clever. Most of them have financed their plants by selling shares, usually LLC shares, to the local public and often to the local farmers, so that some of my farmer friends actually have invested in these plants. So they made a lot of money on the high-priced corn, but now they're looking at bad stock as these plants are very marginal. Some of them, one of them in North Carolina, a friend of mine there who's a chemical engineer has tracked it very carefully. His name is Russ Walker. The plant actually shut down before it started. It turned out that it had grants from the county for all of the land, and they'd sold shares in LLC shares in the plant to all the local producers. So the very people who are benefiting from selling the corn to the plant, in many cases, have been stuck with bad stock. But of course, the net result is that there is enough. There's enough plants running so that they are still consuming one-third of the corn that's being produced, and that's enough to create a shortage. And that shortage has spilled over and created a shortage of soybeans and a shortage of wheat and a shortage of other grain. The profits, of course, it ends up going to Wall Street. Of course, it keeps the Wall Street machine bubbling and boiling, and in the long run, everyone's going to be hurt because there are going to be a lot of farmers that will go out and buy literally million-dollar pieces of equipment. I should say half a million, because I haven't seen any that it cost $1 million, but I've seen harvesters that cost $500,000 to harvest corn so that they can harvest more corn faster. And there are people now investing enormous amounts of money in farmland at prices that are 20 times what they were before there were ethanol subsidies. And it's bid up into a great farmland bubble for high-priced land. Some people will benefit from this. Some people will be hurt very badly. There are going to be farmers who are caught in the middle of it. And common sense is going to prevail. And one of these days, people are simply going to tell their congressman, hey, the ethanol subsidy runs out in December. If you vote to grant another one, don't come home. And that should be the number one priority. It's this very simple thing that we can say to our congressman. If you do not vote to continue the ethanol subsidies, we want all the subsidies for ethanol production to be killed immediately, and they actually expire at the end of the year, so it can be done. Recently, Congress, in a rare moment of common sense, took a look at it, and they passed a resolution that they were going to not renew the ethanol subsidies. Immediately, these huge lobbies jumped all over them and came up with better ideas for them under conditions in which they would continue the subsidies and conditions they wouldn't. And what it really amounts is the lobbies are getting ready to outsmart the Congress, and the Congress will probably renew the subsidies at the end of the year unless there is an absolute revolt at the fuel level. And there should be, because there isn't a person in the world who doesn't have to buy groceries in the store, and there's none of us that don't have to buy fuel every week for our car, and every time we buy it, we're stuck buying 2 to 4 gallons of ethanol and putting in our tank and having to burn it. By the way, it's not even good for your automobile. But
Charles, my memory is vague, but I remember, wasn't it sometime in the 80s when the government said that American farmers were going to feed the world and encourage them to expand their food production?
That's right. That was the Buxton administration.
We'll talk more about this when we return.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
You can't change it. Welcome back to the flip side. Speaking with Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. Yeah, Charles, my memory's a little shaky on this one, but I remember because I was in Colorado where you were.
Where I am.
Yeah, sometime in the 80s, and the government encouraged the farmers to go into hock because they were led to believe that American farmers were going to feed the planet. So the farmers went out and borrowed and expanded and I believe when commodity prices took a turn for the worse, a lot of farmers went out of business. And as a matter of fact, one farmer took his brand new John Deere harvester and drove it through the doors of the bank that repossessed it.
Yeah.
And that in turn spurred, I think it was Willie Nelson who started a farm aid to help out destitute farmers. And I think it's still the farm aid concerts still take place.
There are a tremendous amount of subsidies that actually figure into this, other than some that I don't even know about, I'm sure. I do believe that the plants that build the ethanol get direct subsidies for constructing the plants, but they're very secretive. You can't get a tour through an ethanol plant. They don't talk about whether they're running or not running. The ethanol industry is very close-mouthed. These plants shut down and open up based on the price of corn and the price of ethanol in the market, which is related to the price of gasoline. But it's all forced upon us. It would never exist. And if the subsidy is eliminated at the end of this year, these ethanol plants will go out of business. They will not be able to afford to produce this stuff because it just costs too much to produce it. And the people that put the subsidy on it knew what they were doing. They knew that if they wanted to get anybody to use any ethanol, they'd have to pay somebody to produce it, and then they would have to force the consumer to use it. You know, Robbie, one of the things that if we had a call, I'm sure the first call would be, don't race cars use ethanol? Isn't it great fuel? The answer is race cars use it because they don't care how many miles to the gallon they get.
NASCAR is the major promoter of ethanol.
Do they burn it in NASCAR? I suppose they do to some degree.
I think they do.
Yeah, but now the reason that there's a scientific reason why you can only get two-thirds as many gallons out of ethanol as you do out of a hydrocarbon. The hydrocarbon is all carbon and hydrogen. There's nothing else in it, unless there are impurities, which are not supposed to be too many. The ethanol has got an oxygen atom attached to every molecule, and it's high school chemistry stuff. You can figure it out, and it figures out that one-third of the weight of every ethanol atom, ethanol molecule, is oxygen. Now, oxygen aids the process of combustion. But you don't want to buy oxygen for your car because it's free. You can have all you want through your carburetor. It comes in the air through the air cleaner. The air around us is full of it, see? So you don't have to pay $3 a gallon for oxygen. But you are buying that when you buy ethanol. So that's the simple chemical reason that it only goes two-thirds as far as a gallon of the same weight of gasoline. The oxygen that's attached to a molecule of ethanol does burn very well. It aids in the burning process if you want to pay for it, if you want to pay an extra one-third for your fuel. And that's basically what it does to you. The EPA says that it cleans up the air. And it's true that the little bit of ethanol in your tank does burn more cleanly than with less carbon left over than does gasoline. But the only problem is that everybody who produces ethanol burns gasoline to get it. In other words, the plant at Chancellor, South Dakota does not burn ethanol to make ethanol. Why not? It's an inefficient fuel. They get the natural gas pipeline to drop a line off, and they can produce more efficiently buying natural gas to produce ethanol. The same is true of the farmers. The farmers do not use ethanol in their tractors when they're raising the corn that goes into the ethanol. Even if they sell to the corn to the ethanol plant, they burn diesel fuel because diesel fuel is a better fuel. So the whole scheme is a scam, just like so many. We hope this little introductory course kind of gets people thinking about it. We wrote about it because we thought it was one thing that is so obvious and affects everyone. And as such, it could be the kind of an issue that could start a groundswell of people demanding that their Congress do something good for a change, other than debate over when they're going to raise the debt limit so the Federal Reserve can print more money to be spent giving subsidy to ethanol producers.
Yeah, because, you know, by raising the debt ceiling, once again, it's a catch-22 situation. What does that mean? It means the Federal Reserve's going to print more money, which is going to dilute the value of the money that's currently in circulation.
Right. Driving up food prices and everything else.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. That's exactly what happened. And some of that, of course, goes right back into this. And then it's incredible to think about. You're forced to go buy this stuff whether you want it or not. People don't even know that their gasoline is 10% ethanol.
Doesn't it state it right there when you fill up at the gas pump? Isn't it? Don't they tell you what percentage of ethanol is in the gasoline?
I think so. Yeah, I think the pumps I've looked at do. Some do and some don't. But most of the pumps, I think, tell you that it has 10%. And the Environmental Protection Agency now wants that increased to 15%.
Amazing stuff. You know, Charles, there's also something else I wanted to ask you away from the ethanol issue. It's about the governor of the state of Texas, Rick Perry. He is having this day of prayer meeting coming up, I believe, first week in August. And there's a number of leading evangelicals that are going to be in attendance. And I wanted to get your take on who some of these people are, if you are familiar with them. The first one is this guy called Don Wildman from the American Family Association. They are the folks that are putting up this event. I believe it's in Houston at the Astrodome. Are you familiar with Don Wildman?
Yes, to some degree I am, and he does not earn a place in my mind as among the list of radical dispensational Christian Zionists. For some reason, he doesn't fit that mold. The American Family Association has been more mainline, I would say, and traditional in their religious approach, and not quite showing the love affair with the state of Israel, and therefore not being so clearly in the war camp as have been the evangelicals. Now, Wildman might be classified as the evangelical, and I would have to take a little look to find out who are some of the other people that are going to be at this thing.
Well, Tony Perkins.
Tony Perkins, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain. Well, what can we say about him? I don't know what he is.
Rod Paisley. Very, very, you're very familiar with Rod Paisley.
Yeah. Rod Paisley. I'd have to check. I'd have to look into Rod Paisley. We recently had someone from Fresno, California call us and asked us how you identify. They want to start a we did some church pickets there years ago, and also in Bakersfield, California, and in some people from Fresno called and said we were there, and that was such a great idea that now 3 years later, we want to go back and do this every month, but we need to know how you tell which church we should go to. And is, for instance, Rod Paisley a Christian Zionist? And my answer to them is the way you tell is you ask them if they believe that the state of Israel is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I don't think Don Wildman would probably, from his training, answer yes. I think Tony Perkins, God knows what he would say if you asked him a religious question. I have no idea what he believes, if he believes anything. And Rod Parsley, Paisley, I don't know. Rod Paisley, isn't he a musician? You're not thinking of Rod Parsley, are you?
Parsley.
Well, Parsley is a radical evangelical. He's
a
Christian Zionist. Rod Parsley is.
According to some news reports out there, Governor Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin, he hears voices, and he believes that it's his calling, as he says, which is a play on words.
Yeah.
It's his calling to consider running for president.
Well, I don't know much about him, and it sounds like he's like everyone else. He's making sure that he invites the Christian Zionist leaders, or at least people identified, to show up and act like they like him or consider liking him. And this simply shows that no major politician today, especially in the Republican Party, can get elected or thinks they can get elected without attracting a major part of the vote of the Judeo-Christian or Christian Zionist movement in America. And that's because almost everybody else split their votes. The Catholics, the Episcopalians, the Lutherans, they don't vote as a block. Some of them are Democrats, some are Republicans, some are radical, some are liberal, some are socialist, some are everything you can think of, and they vote every way that you can think of. And they don't necessarily vote the way, they generally split their votes up pretty well. What makes the Christian Zionists important to the politicians is they have a tendency to vote pretty much more as a bloc than any other group that you can identify anywhere in the country, just about without exception. And the Mormon Church is part of it, so I would say the Mormons are very predictable, but they are also part of the same movement. So somebody like Rick Perry, he's going to have a big bash and a prayer meeting, and he's going to invite lots of leaders, and it'll be significant who shows up, because if the big Texans don't show up, what about John Hagee? Is he coming?
I believe he is. He is on the roster.
Yeah.
And as you know, Christians United for Israel, I think last week had a gathering in Washington.
They did. Yeah.
And there were some speakers there that believe that, it was the thought that the Christian lobbyists that were in attendance at the CUFI, they hoped to bring the Tea Party in to support the State of Israel. I mean, you had the firebrand Glenn Beck stirring up the crowd. And all the other usual suspects were in attendance as well. Michael Oren, the new U.S. ambassador to Israel, when he gave his speech, he referred to Christian Zionists as righteous Gentiles.
Righteous Gentiles. Well, is Oren our guy in Israel, or is he Israel's guy in the United States? I'd forgotten which way that worked.
I think he's our guy in Israel. I could have that backwards, as we've got a few things backwards today.
Well, in either case, it comes out to be the same way. We appoint people to be our ambassador to Israel, who basically play the Israel tune. And they, of course, appoint radical Zionists to come here and try to have an influence. And as we talked about last week, the state of Israel, of course, floods the speaking market with people like Waleed Shubat and all kinds of other essentially agents of Israel who are essentially carrying out their policy positions, and if not their policy positions, political policy positions
Thanks for reminding me about that, because on your website, your latest article is a response to the CNN expose of Waleed Shubat.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, we didn't talk about it today because we talked about it last week, but it is a good article.
Yep, absolutely. We'll have more when we return.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Teravim. Teravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Teravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit teravim.com.
Welcome back to The Flip Side on this Friday. Speaking with Charles Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. If you'd like to read Charles's article about his response to the CNN expose of Waleed Shubat, just go to Charles's website at whtt.org. Now, Charles, I know you like polls. I found a recent poll that most Israeli Jews won't accept Jesus as the Messiah. This poll was conducted by Dr. Tina Kamich. It shows that the majority of Israeli Jews, 74%, have no intention whatsoever of accepting Jesus as the Messiah, despite the fact that after the rapture, those who do not convert to Christianity will be incinerated.
Okay. That's actually a lot better ratio. I'm surprised at the 24%. I know what they said, because when Jesus walked the earth, there wasn't 0.1% who accepted him. So sounds like Jesus has gained some ground with the survivors. Of course, we shouldn't confuse ourselves by thinking that the Jews of today have anything to do with the Judeans who wandered around at Jesus' time. They don't, and that's one of the big scriptural errors of all times, is equating today's Jews with the people that were biblical. It's a funny poll. It's very amusing in the fact that 26% didn't say no. I wonder what they said.
No. Maybe I'm
saying yes.
Yeah, I'll send this poll to you. But you know, it's also interesting. I noted that there were three conservative publications that came to Waleed Shubat's defense.
Oh, really?
WorldNet Daily.
Yeah. Okay.
Human Events. And Newsmax.com. Your quintessential three prominent so-called conservative publications.
Yep. Well, WorldNet Daily is a good example of Arab, American Arab, who has become basically a Zionist, and it proves the case that there are even Zionist Muslims. I guess I'm not sure whether he's a Muslim or a so-called Christian. But the WorldNet Daily has always been a Christian Zionist tool, and you can just about depend upon it. You can actually judge who's who by seeing who WorldNet Daily likes.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked or surprised to see the Weekly Standard coming to Waleed Shubat's defense either.
The Weekly Standard, wasn't that owned by...
William Crystal.
William Crystal, okay, the Weekly Standard, and... was one time owned by Rupert Murdoch, wasn't it?
Not too sure about that one, but I know he is a close friend of William Crystal.
Yep, a true neocon.
Yeah, well, Charles, 2 hours went by real fast. Thank you once again, my friend.
I hope you're listening.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it.